For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Welcome to Believe in Colts, where Lawrence Owen and DeQuell Jackson brings you everything about the Shoe.
Hey, Colts fans, and we are back. I'm Lawrence Owen. That's DeQuell Jackson. DeQuell, how's your week been, my friend?
It's been pretty good. I did a little family time at the pumpkin patch, and in the meantime, was able to watch a Colts put up 31 points on the a rival that, and it was a much needed game. So it was a pretty good weekend. How about yourself?
Well, I sat here 3 days ago in shorts and a tank top outside working on my yard, and now I'm wearing jeans, double socks, and a sweater. So it got cold quick up here. So
I'm with you on that, man. We were outside last weekend. It was nice weather. You know, it was that in between fall and, and spring, and that's my favorite type of time of the year, whereas you don't sweat when you're outside, but you're not cold as well. But I agree. The hawk is here.
Yeah,
The cold weather is here.
But a lot of Colts fans warmed up yesterday, as you was talking about, 31-3, man. I don't know if the Colts could have put a smackdown on a team. I understand it's the Texans. I get that. And they aren't very good right now, especially, you know, with the situation that they've been having over the past couple years, especially this past offseason with Deshaun Watson and then them trying to figure out who their QB1 is going to be.
Right.
But still, you know, to beat another team by 4 touchdowns,
yes,
that's a statement, right?
Yes, that's a step in the right direction. And we've seen this last week. We've seen it every week for the last few weeks. This offense and this team has played exponentially better. Last week, we talked about finishing the game. They played 3 pretty solid quarters last week. And to come back this week, you know, play with that momentum and play a division rival to come out and win the way they did. We expected them to win by a significant margin. This showed me, and I think you would agree, that the Colts are a really decent team. They just have to string these wins together. And, you know, the way they played the game against the Texans, it was definitely, you know, there's a lot of optimism moving forward.
Absolutely. We will get into the next game that they're going to be going up against later on, because that's also going to be a statement game. But for now, I mean, you saw all 3 phases working for the first time all year, right?
Yes.
You saw the offense. They were running the ball well. They were getting chunk plays on the ground and through the air, which is something we haven't seen a lot of, you know, before last week. We didn't see a lot of chunk plays through the air. The defense was getting their turnovers. They were playing that bend but don't break style defense that we are used to seeing, you know, some of us older fans, you know, when we were, you know, back in the day. But used to seeing that, you know, where they'd allow the opponent to move between the 20s, but once they got in the red zone, it was locked down. You know, you'd get a turnover, force a field goal or something of that nature.
Right.
And that's exactly what they did defensively to the Texans, right?
Yeah, I take my hat off to Matt Eberflus. From the very beginning of that football game, he pressured Davis Mills. He let him know right away, listen, we're not going to sit back on our heels. We're going to play some coverage when we need to. But for the most part, he was sending nickel pressures. He was sending middle linebacker pressure, Darius Miles. It was a beautiful executed, is what we call a coffee house. 2 inside linebackers, or one is on the guard, one is lined up on the tackle, and the inside linebacker you know, we call it coffee house. He runs at the guard to get the guard's attention. And all of a sudden, at the last minute, he pops out. And when that happened, he loses his eyes on Darius Leonard. It was a beautifully executed blitz. But again, my hat goes off to Flues. He dialed it up early on and often, and he was able to, the offense was able to you know, carry a lead. And obviously, once that happens, your defense is able to create turnovers. They, the Forrest Buckner, we talked about him last week. He finally added another sack to his only two for the year, but it helps. We were able to get some pressure there. But I got, my hat goes off to this defense. This defense, Darius Leonard, we talked about it beforehand. He always ends up at the right place at the right time. And that's a testament to how hard he's worked and how, you know, how much this team is scratching just to get a win. And to win in that fashion, you look at the offensive side of the ball, Carson Wentz over, there was three big chunk plays over 50 yards. That never happens. When that happens, that means your offense is rolling. T.Y. was back. He had a few, I think he had just over 80 yards receiving. Mm-hmm. The offense is clicking. I like what I'm seeing offensively. However, we talked about it last week, that red zone offense. Again, you know, the running game was there. Jonathan Taylor had a huge day. All the backs, I thought, contributed in a huge way. But in order to beat the good teams in this league, you're going to have to execute and finish drives out, which I don't want to be, you know, I don't want to, you know, I'm excited about this win, but I do see some areas where they have to improve in order for them to win this second quarter of the season in order to position themselves within the division to ultimately get to the postseason.
Oh, I completely feel you on this, DeQuell. I was saying earlier that, you know, I don't want to be a negative Nancy, not in the face of a big
win. The word I was trying to find, yeah. Negative Nancy.
Yeah, I don't want to be one of those, but at the same time, there was quite a bit in that game that was like, you know what, we really need to fix that, you know. Still need to fix that.
Yeah.
But
Eric Fisher is a guy, not to cut you off, Eric Fisher is a guy that he gave up he got called for tripping. I don't know if you remember that play, but the defender hit him with an inside spin move. And, you know, it's just he didn't have his legs underneath him. He wasn't in good body control. And I get it. When a guy blows you off the ball that bad, you try to trip him and just get him down so he doesn't kill your quarterback. But, man, we got to be better. We have to be better there. You know, Carson Wentz, we've alluded to it more than enough to, you know, how tough this guy is hanging in the pocket. He's able to make – when he's able to stand upright in the pocket, he's able to get the ball down the field. And, you know, guys like Michael Pittman Jr., he stepped up immensely for this football team. And, you know, I want to see that. That won't last long if we continue to not take care of that edge, and particularly his blind spot.
Yeah, there was another penalty on him. Both penalties.
Oh, false starting.
Now that false start, I don't know. I think I'm okay with that false start because the defensive end kind of jumped and was, you know, at that right there. You know what I mean? At the line of scrimmage, and he was trying to catch him. And right. I guess you're taught as an offensive lineman, stand up, touch the guy, you know, try to get that encroachment call. I didn't get a good angle to make a decision on that myself. And the refs called it against him.
The refs called it against you. You're a veteran guy. We talked about this plenty of times. Your veterans have to stand up, and especially when you're 1-4. Obviously, you got to win, but you got to play solid football right now. You can't afford – you haven't shown this team is good enough to overcome penalty after penalty. It could have cost us in the end. It could have cost these guys in the end. So there's some things to clean up here and there, but for the most part, you're able to get the running game going. And when Carson Wentz only throws the ball 20 times, that's a recipe for success.
Yeah, right. In a way, I'm kind of feeling like we're a little nitpicking right there on the penalties because those were the only two penalties the Colts had, 2 for 10 yards. Yeah. So, I mean, if you look at it in the broad spectrum, both of them were on Fisher, but at the same time, 2 penalties, 10 yards for a game. I'll take that every game, you know?
True. You're right.
Defensively, I've been seeing a couple things the past couple weeks from Eberflus's defense that I have not seen a lot of in years previous that I'm starting to see now. We used to talk about that with the Ravens and the Steelers defense about how they would line up everybody. The whole front seven would crowd the line of scrimmage, you know, and you know, kind of confuse the blocking scheme of that offensive line and the quarterback, you know, and all that.
Yes, it screws up the math. That's what we like to call it. It screws up the blocking count for the offensive line. And there was a package when I was with Greg Minuski. We call it spinning gumballs. And I'm sorry, Rob Ryan, years ago, we called it spinning gumballs, where guys would move around. There was no set place where you were supposed to line up. But if you were to the left, you knew you had a hook curl over here. But it was a defense installed just to confuse the math of the count. And we saw it executed beautifully with, I know Darius Leonard didn't come home with the sack, but Kwity Paye almost had an interception off of it. So those are the type of things that you have to install, especially when you're playing a young quarterback that hadn't seen that, that's inexperienced, hadn't seen a lot of those different looks. And it puts you at ease. It puts you kind of in a stress situation where you have all these guys looking at you. You don't know who's rushing, who's dropping in coverage. So to create confusion is the name of the game. Every snap, you're playing a chess match. And the more your players understand how you're calling your defense and how to disguise, the better, you know, disguise you have, and the harder it is for an opposing quarterback to kind of decipher what coverage you're in.
You know, I had mixed feelings about that specific play you were talking about when it happened.
I love that blitz.
I know you did, but, you know, my first reaction was, what the heck is Kwity Paye dropping in coverage for?
Right.
You know?
Right. Sometimes they have to take one for the team. You know, it's like, granted, I agree, we shouldn't major in him dropping in coverage, but it worked, so we're just going to leave it.
Yeah,
where it is.
That was my mixed feelings about. I was like, what? Why? But yeah, he got his hands on the ball, so I can't complain too much, but I don't want to see that very often, you know? I don't want to see him drop back into coverage, you know, 6-7 times a game. Please don't.
No. Let's let him go north and south and get after the quarterback, because we need it. We need the pass rush.
Oh yeah.
We need it as much as we can to take pressure off these guys on the back end. There's only so much you can generate from a pressure standpoint. We need a guy to kind of step outside of himself and be that leader of generating sacks. You know, it changes the game. It literally changes the game. And on third down, that's money down. Every defensive player knows that's money down. It either makes you or breaks you. And we can have a guy that can get after the passer. You know, we don't know unless we allow him to go north or south. And granted, you got to take one for the team. Normally when that happens, Lawrence, when a defensive lineman is dropping in coverage, that means a guy like myself is benefiting. We're blitzing. So, you know, I'm a little biased when it comes to that.
I get you. I understand. but speaking of third downs, two areas that the Colts got really blown out of it when it comes to stats, third downs and time of possession. Now, I'm going to start with the time of possession. I'm not going to really hang my hat on that too much, because the Colts were, we talked about it, getting big plays, right? And they were scoring quickly at times. And because of that, you know, the defense was on the field a lot longer. And so I'm not going to hang my hat on that. Most of the time, you want that time of possession in your favor so that your defense has got a little bit more rest, especially later in the game. But when you're already up, you know, three scores, then it, you know, it did come back to bite them in the Baltimore game, but the Texans didn't have the firepower to do it.
Now, I think the running game was the running game was just so on par this week, or this past week. I mean, you have to, and you're right. They were scoring fast and you want time of possession, but sometimes the game goes like that. Sometimes, you know, Jonathan Taylor pops an 83-yard run when, you know, it's great, but you still want to be able to eat the clock as much as you can. I know as a defensive player, I love when my offense is running the ball. That means that the clock is just ticking, tick, 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 tick. And there's less opportunities and puts more pressure on the opposing offense to score in a hurry. So, hey, listen, we can nitpick all day. I know you know, that's what we're here for. But, you know, I'm very, you know, excited that this team was able to win in the fashion they did, you know, above all else.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. You know, that play with that 80-yard run by Jonathan Taylor right before that drive started, my co-host asked me, over under on how many times Jonathan Taylor is going to run this drive. And I said, four. And that's funny because that entire drive was four runs for a touchdown.
Right. And they gave it to him three more times.
Yeah.
On the goal line.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
in my mind, I'm watching. I'm like, oh, here we go again. Like, we're not going to be able to punch it in. But thank goodness they, you know, they rolled their horse down the field. You got to give it to them. Let them finish the drive.
At that point, I wanted them to run it on third down for the simple fact that I think the Texans were not going to be. I think the Texans were expecting a play action at that point. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Because they had seen it in film so much from the Colts the past year that they would run it. And then if it didn't go in, they pass. And then that's, you know, when things went wild. So running it three times, Taylor got him down there. Frank Reich was like, you know what? I need to reward you because of what you just did. Go get that stinking touchdown for yourself.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. Yes. It's always, and it's great for your offensive line to know you can just bully people running the football. So every time he touched the ball and every time there was a positive play, I mean, it's demoralizing for a defense, but it gives your offensive line more confidence to go out there and say, hey, you know, we can run the ball down these guys' throat. And I love to see that, to see the toughness of the Colts kind of shine through. Granted, it was the Texans, but every win is it's difficult to win in this league, no matter who you are, and especially so a division opponent. So both of these teams, in my opinion, the record says they were evenly matched, but we all know if this team, like the Colts, can somewhat play to their ability and potential, the outcome was going to be what it was. So just excited those guys got a win because I understand how difficult it is to be in the locker room in 5 weeks only getting one victory. You know, the chatter. This was the chatter game for me, Lawrence. This was if things would have gone south, the chatter and the little cliques of guys that think they're coaches and know what they could, you know, they feel like they're a better coach than the actual coach. And that's when things kind of spiral out of control. But they got T.Y. back. He made a huge impact, in my opinion. And quite honestly, he's watching the same game we are from a T.Y. standpoint of, you know, Michael Pittman Jr. showing up and Stram. Am I saying that right? Strawn. When he comes back. You know, there's plenty of weapons on this football team. So you're going to get T.Y.'s, you know, you're going to get his undivided attention. And I like that. A motivated T.Y. is a dangerous man on that field.
Absolutely. The other thing that I kind of was a little bit nitpicky on that I did not like at all was the third down conversions on both sides. They were giving up over, 55%? What,
yeah, 9 of like 17 or something.
Defensively. It was, and the offense only got 30%. The offense was 3 of 10. So that's not a recipe generally for success in the NFL.
No.
They gotta find a way of fixing that.
Right. That's you know, if your offense isn't moving the chains on third down and you're towards the bottom half of the league and scoring in the red zone, you know, that's gonna creep up. You're able to get by this past week, but that won't carry you for the end of the season. And on the other end as well, from a defensive standpoint, that's one of your – every week when you go back and grade the film, you look at third down conversion, you look at total yards you've given up rushing, and your pass defense. So third down has to get better on both sides. And, you know, every Friday – everywhere I've been, Friday is your third down day. Friday is a day where, for me, when I was with the Colts, after every Friday, we had a script of probably 30 plays that I thought that we would have trouble picking up based on our attendance third down calls. And so I don't know if those guys are doing it. I'm sure they are, but it was a player-driven meeting that I would run. And guys like Darius Butler and Vontae Davis and Mike Adams, this was a time for all of us to kind of iron out what questions we may have had. And that made us a really effective third down defense because we all knew what to expect on third down. And I think it's coming along. I think it's, you know, as you watch this football team off the offense because guys were out in training camp. Guys are starting to develop some routine, some rapport with each other on the field. And same can say the same could be said about the defense, but those two areas, they have to get better if you're going to win a beat a quality opponent.
So I have an interesting question, or at least on my, I think it's interesting anyhow.
Let's do it.
Loose ball drills. I'm curious how important that is and if they're mm-hmm. used very, how often do teams do loose ball drills in practice?
Oh yeah. I'm sure like Flus, the way this team is able to punch out footballs. And if you notice, if you pay attention to the game, anytime there's a, let's say there's an incomplete pass and, you know, a receiver, you know, get punched out. Every time the ball is on the ground, every defensive player for the Colts, they pick it up. They scoop uh-huh. it up. Like the really good coaches who really emphasize either tip drills or balls on it, they emphasize picking up the ball and making the ref blow the whistle. So, you know, the ball is dead and so forth. But tip drills from an offensive standpoint, absolutely. The entire team, I've been on teams in Cleveland where before practice, we did a tip drill, tip ball drill every day before practice. So it's definitely emphasized. And every coach I've ever played for, the ball is everything, whether it's defensive, offensive. Defensively, you want to take it away. Offensively, you want to retain it. So it's definitely a point of emphasis everywhere I've been, and I'm sure in the Colts locker room.
Well, see, is it ran with just individual players, or do you, or is it done with like groups of people? Because, mm-hmm. like, if you got like a loose ball on the ground, I wouldn't think you'd want like a bunch of people diving at it at the same. Because it seemed like that would be a way of getting people injured.
So, if you really want to see something funny, you should see the D lineman do a loose ball drill where before practice or right as practice begins, individual drill. You have obviously your position groups, mm-hmm. defensive backs, linebackers, D linemen. So you'll have your coach stand in front of you, maybe 10 yards. He'll say hit. He'll roll the ball, throw you a knuckleball on the ground. And if you want to see a funny sight, watch the D lineman try to scoop a knuckleball on the ground. It's the most hilarious thing in the world. And so you emphasize that every day because it's hard for those D linemen to bend over. And it's a method to it. If you don't practice it, you see a ball on the ground, you don't know how to cradle it. You don't know how to jump for it. So it's actually something that I'm glad you brought this up. A lot of young people probably don't practice this. And when I realized that this was actually an important skill, because I thought I was somewhat athletic, throw a ball on the ground during the course of a game, you have the best athletes in the world jumping for it. You got one shot. And you better time it up perfectly. Better know how to cradle it because there's going to be arms and legs and God mm-hmm. knows what else scratching for that ball. So it's definitely an art to it that a lot of everywhere I've been, I've always worked on it. And I'm sure because Flus is just, he's ingrained in those guys, how to punch the ball away, how to take the ball away. I'm sure those guys work at that every day. Every day they have a chance to.
Yeah, I think so too. One more thing I'd like to talk about. We were talking about how we got T.Y. Hilton back, a deep threat. Paris Campbell. Man, the poor guy can't catch a break. He gets this 51-yard beautiful ball. He was so wide open on that pass that he had to slow down and come back to the ball. Because he had Carson could have put 5 more yards under that ball and hit him in stride in the end zone. And he had to come back, catch the football, still had about 3 yards when he made the catch, goes into the end zone. At that point, somewhere in there, he ends up hurting his foot. Frank Reich says that it's going to be it is a major injury and that it's going to take a long time for it to heal. He can't catch a break. This is the 3rd year in a row that something like this has happened to him. And he was just coming into his own the last few weeks. Yeah. He was really starting to show us something. I don't know. There fans out there right now. I just came back from Twitter right before we started this. And like every fan I see is like, get well. But then you look at a different thing where they're saying, well, it's time to move on, you know? So that's gotta be so hard.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's the reality of the NFL. You know, availability is the best ability. That will never get old. And, you know, the guy has shown flashes of his ability, how he can help this football team. And this was his moment to really shine, because you had T.Y. sideline, you had other guys sideline. So this was your opportunity. And he made the best. He made the most of it. Me personally, I don't know when that injury happened, whether he was dealing with something beforehand and it just kind of, you know, kind of re-injured it, aggravated it on that touchdown grab. But the poor guy can't catch a break. That scares me. When the head coach comes out and says, you know, it's a significant injury, he's going to miss, you know, a good amount of time, then, you know, it's probably more serious than he's alluding to. So will we see him again this year? I don't know. And for him, the best advice I would give him, if I'm in that locker room, get healthy, son. Absolutely get healthy. Do not step on that field unless you're 1,000% healthy. And because you had other guys in your room that are, you know, T.Y., being one of those guys, we have capable receivers of getting it done. You just feel bad for a guy that, you know, you fight so hard and, you know, you can't get over that injury bug. You know, Lawrence, in my career, no one like – I've dealt with that 2 years in a row when I was very young, my rookie contract. When I tell you, Lawrence, it is the shittiest feeling in the world. Oh, my, you feel like you're not a part of the team. You feel like you have so much to give, but you haven't had the chance to because your body is letting you down. And unfortunately, that's your maturation in the NFL. Some guys are lucky enough to play a career 6, 7 years, 10 plus years, never really have to deal with anything that allows them not to be available to play a game. So this young guy hopefully will learn from it. But it's just it's saddening to see, because he's a guy that can help this football team.
Yeah, I think so, too. And I get, you know, where you're saying that, you know, it might be more significant than what he's alluding on to. But if he has any shot to make it back by or in play, just saying, if the Colts somehow miraculously, even though they're 2-4 right now, go on a nice little win streak and make the playoffs, getting back in and being able to be available at least for the playoffs if they make it there, you know, that would be huge. Because
it would be. But I just caution you.
I think
you
it would. I get you.
Yeah. But
my thought process is, if you could show up and be there in the playoffs and flash and be important to the team in the playoffs, that would erase a lot for the regular season, I think.
Oh, you know what I mean? Oh, yeah. Oh, yes, because that's when it counts. That's when you make your money. When you're in the playoffs, when you show up in the playoffs, no matter what you have done the previous 17 weeks, you show up in those playoffs, that memory is forever ingrained in the front office's mind. It's like, wait, this guy showed up at the biggest moment when we needed him to. So I feel like if you're in his shoes, if you're dealing with your injury, you don't really know what the future holds, you have to take that mindset of if I am going to come back, that's my starting point. That's my goal, is to come back during the postseason. Now, and you saw my face when you were talking about it. I was like, it's really tough. It can be done, but it's really tough to get your football legs back and, you know, in the playoffs, because the speed is a lot faster. The intensity is a lot. There's a lot more urgency there. So, but, you know, you wish the best for him. If that's the case, great. You know, he's got a young body, so his body will be able to bounce back pretty significantly. And, you know, you just wish the best for him. And if that's the case, I hope things work out for him.
So it's coming one more week closer to the trade deadline for this year, now that it's been moved back a week due to, you know, the extra week in the season. And Marlon Mack has been getting some carries, some touches quite a bit. Do you like the fact that they are using him? And do you think that this is playing in the favor of not just, you know, Marlon, because people are getting taped, but for the Colts as well?
Yeah, I think both parties are going to benefit. You know, Marlon Mack is a competitor. He suits up every day, and from the likes of it, you know, he's still in good graces with the organization. Now, I'm gonna go back in time a little bit because I was with the Colts when a guy by the name of Trent Richardson was there, and he had a lot of expectations and things didn't necessarily work out for him. Why? Who knows? But he fell out of good graces with the organization. You know, anytime, this is how I look at this as well. You know, he was a guy who was the guy, you know, at one point before Jonathan Taylor shows up. And he's been able to deal with that, not been a distraction from the likes of it. You haven't heard anything about him being a distraction.
From what I understand.
Right. So that to me is a sign of a guy that's a team guy. He's selfless and he can help someone. Granted, there's a crowded backfield with the Colts right now. And to play him, it only benefits both. Now the guy gets to play. He gets to, you know, add value to his trade value. And the Colts get to, you know, take a breather. You know, Jonathan Taylor and Nyheim Hines get to take a breather, so to say, when he's in the game, Marlon Mack is in the game. So I think this works out for both parties. Now, what type of compensation will we get for him? Probably not the highest, but you get something, at least a draft pick. And the way this organization, the way Chris Ballard has chosen, you know, pick guys from the draft to build from within, I like those odds.
Yeah, I like those odds as well. I think we've pretty well kind of dissected that Texans game as well as we. I mean, we could get even more so. We could talk about how Carson Wentz is doing and all of that. But I think we've discussed it enough. Let's move on a little bit. We have a very important stretch of games coming up because of our current record and where the Titans are. And now we can't help what the Titans do, you know,
right.
You can only help what the Colts do, right? You can only worry about what you can deal with.
Hard not to look ahead.
I know. You dealt with the Texans. Now it's time to move on with the 49ers. Mm-hmm. And the 49ers are a better team than the Texans. Now, granted, they don't have two of their best players. Their quarterback is out. Mm-hmm. I believe Kittle is out as well. But they still have a very good defense and a solid run game. So
yes. This is going to be another test. You know, from here on out, this is test week. Test week every week from here on out. These next, and you brought it up. You have the Titans, the Jets, and the 49ers, I believe. And you have to get through this stretch. And once you get through this stretch, it's going to dictate whether or not you're in the running of winning your division. Are you positioning yourself to play in the postseason? But it starts week to week. This is your playoff right now because you started off the gate slow. You stumbled at the gate, out of the gates. You know, putting yourself, you know, in a position of being 2-4. So the 49ers, you're right. With the Bosa on the edge, you know, we have to figure out how to attack these guys from a defensive standpoint because, you know, they are who they are. This is a much better opponent than the Texans. You're not going to just, you know, show up and just beat these guys because they're well coached. They have a great offense with Shanahan, the way he's able to call plays offensively. He is one of the, in my opinion, one of the better offensive coordinators in the league. And granted, the QB1 isn't there, but he's got a talented guy that was their first round draft pick that can not only beat you throwing the football, but he has the ability to run as well and extend plays. And anytime you play a quarterback that has his default move is to run, that stresses your football team out. And we've seen it already. We've seen it this year. So with Lamar Jackson. So this is not Lamar Jackson 2.0 by any means, but it's still a task in itself. So this is one. I'm not quite sure about this one.
Really? Because I was getting ready to say, hey, Coach Jackson, what would your game plan be to defeat the San Francisco 49ers this week?
So if I were to look at the Colts and what we do well, right, that's the first thing that pops in my head. What do we do well on either side of the football? Well, we just talked about having a crowded backfield. And I'll say this, it's not going to be anything. I'm not reinventing the wheel here. I'm going back to what works best. What did we do well last week? Well, Jonathan Taylor was able to create. You know, he had over 145 yards carry, 45 yards on the ground and 14 carries. So, and Carson Wentz, we talked about it. He only threw the ball 20 times. If we're able to run the ball consistently, then it's a no-brainer. Offensively, I'm an old-school guy. I'm an old-school guy when it comes to offense. Yeah, you can be creative if you want, but if one thing is working, you build on that. You tell your offensive line, hey, we're going to run the football down these guys' throat. We're going to stay committed to it. And now you don't know who's going to be up. Michael Pittman Jr. is a guy. He no matter every game, to me, he's shown up. Mm-hmm. He's shown up, so we can count on him. We can count on T.Y. Hilton. He's going to be juice to show, hey, this team missed me when I was gone. I'm going to show you why I was missed and what my value is. And he's got another opportunity. So to put my coach's hat on, I think you got to lean on those things. I think you got to lean on your guys who've been productive. It's simple for me. And defensively, whatever they're doing throughout the week, to create turnovers, force turnovers, be in the right place at the right time, you want that. Because when you win the turnover battle, you know, things tend to side your direction in terms of wins and losses. But this is a big but. The third down conversions. Mm-hmm. Third down scare me for our defense. Last week, wasn't good. It's not good enough to win a quality opponent, to beat a quality opponent. It's not good enough. So there's some things that frighten me, but I think this team has been energized. I think this team is building in the right manner. I think these guys are finally believing in one another, and they're playing like it.
You're going up. You just got to talking about it. A very young quarterback who just got his feet wet in the NFL, who likes to take off and run when things are not going his way.
Yep.
Is this a game where Eberflus needs to just send a lot of pressure over and over and over?
No doubt about it. Multiple looks, the one thing you can do to hurt yourself is come out and play a vanilla style defense. You can't do that with young guys. You want them to learn by baptism by fire. You need to throw them all different types of looks. The look we talked about where you have all these guys on the pressing on the offensive line. When that happens, you hear a term called 5-0. 5-0 means 5-0 linemen have the five guys directly in front of them. And that's why Darius Leonard and that coffee house blitz worked, because every lineman is accounted for someone. So you throw that look at a young, and I'm sure they're looking at it. They're going to scout it because it worked last week. So you create a 5-0 and you back guys in and out, and you throw them multiple looks, multiple fronts, and you confuse the heck out of the guy. You force him to be one-dimensional. Very simple. Force him to be one-dimensional. Now, you may give up some big play, chunk plays here and there, because the guy, when things break down, he's going to use his legs because he is one of the better athletes on the field. But I think you have to take that mindset going into this week of giving him multiple looks, multiple fronts, and have him make mistakes on your dime so he can get better on the next opponent. Because you can't afford to sit back and play a vanilla style defense, cover two, cover three, you know, sit back and hope your guys, you know, can get PBUs and get interceptions. No, a high school quarterback can figure you out. You gotta throw pressure at him.
Kahari Willis, yeah.
Kahari Willis, I think he's an exceptional. The guy is tough blitzing off the edge. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's very rare that you get a defensive back who's has the grit and is tough enough to blitz, you know, outside the tackle box. So you have to give him multiple fronts, and you know, you see how the game playing, you'll see how he responds to it.
Pass coverage on a guy like Lance, would you rather use a zone coverage or a man coverage against him?
If I'm pressuring him, if I'm blitzing, it's more of a zone concept, like what do we used to call it? Like zone pressure, right? It's a fire zone coverage where
fire zone.
if you're dropping in your coverage, if a guy's in your zone, it's a zone to man concept while you're pressure. That's the safest bet. That's most coordinators tend to fall in that category as opposed to just running man coverage. Man coverage is very simple for Trey Lance to identify. Oh, single high safety, guys are, the defensive backs are pressed up a yard away. One guy made pressure. All I need to do is slide my line here. I know my height is, you know, it's very simple. Even I can pick it up. But when you add the zone pressure, the zone to man concept, the fire zone pressures, and now you can run the zone pressure with two high safeties or three high safeties or one high safety. So that's Flus's philosophy. That's his defensive philosophy, the zone pressure. I was with him in Cleveland. He loved it then. He majors in it now. But the only difference is rush lanes. When you're rushing the passer, you cannot give Trey Lance a short edge, because if you lose your edge, he's going to take advantage of it. And now that's when you put a lot of strain on the back end of your coverage, where you got to cover for 3, 4, 5, 6 seconds. And if you're doing that on an 11 play drive, those guys are going to get worn down very easily. And that's when the big plays tend to happen, the holes in the defense and the breakdown of the defense starts to happen. And that's when you're in trouble. Now, you don't know, you're looking at your call sheet. Like, what, how the hell can I stop the bleeding? What can I call at this moment? So I love, when I played the game, Lawrence, I love playing young quarterbacks because they're what I call half field quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. There's the left field, there's a right field. When a quarterback drops back, you know, a half field quarterback goes from in the middle of the coverage, middle of the field to the left. He never comes back. So these young quarterbacks tend to be half field quarterbacks as opposed to Tom Brady or Carson Wentz. Those guys can work the full field. So that's what I'm going to be looking for. If the pressures, will the pressure affect him enough to create, to allow him to be a half field quarterback? And when that happens, now your defensive backs can jump routes, and now you're getting your hands on balls. And now those tip balls and overthrows, now you're able to collect those turnovers and keep that momentum from last week and the previous week. So this is definitely a game that could be taken over by the defense if they play their cards well.
Awesome. I don't know the numbers yet. I didn't go and look at them before we started this, but I'm curious where we're at on that whole 40 turnover thing. Cause I'm keeping count. I know we got three yesterday though.
Right.
So that's a bit, but I still think you need 40 turnovers, three a game would do it. But,
it's a lofty number. Yeah, it's a lofty number.
Yeah. with a young quarterback, like what we're facing, there is the opportunity for some significant turnovers. I mean, we just saw it with the third round rookie quarterback this past week, who, let's face it, the week before that played a Bill Belichick defense very, very well. And the Colts defense really gave him problems. So that's something to look forward to. So
I just had a thought pop in my head about, you know, a young quarterback. Another thing to look at is, you know, how well does he take care of the ball in the pocket? You know, and that's will be a result of getting to the quarterback. You know, corralling him in rush lanes will be very important. I don't know if they would try to put a spy on the guy. That's giving him too much credit right away. That's taking one guy out of your coverage. But, you know, rush lanes are going to be very important. The mobile guys, the Lamar Jacksons of the world who take advantage of extending plays is when there's a breakdown in your front four and getting out of rush lane. So, but again, young quarterbacks, very, very shaky hands in the pocket. They're going to look down at the rush. And the earlier, the better. The earlier, the better. The first two drives is going to tell me everything I need to know about how Flus wants to call this football game and how their approach is going to be of winning this game.
Absolutely. Another thing that I think will probably be heavy in the film room this week is especially your defensive linemen and your linebackers are going to be looking at where he's holding the football when he's in the pocket and when he takes off for a run.
Right.
Because like you said, Eberflus is all about, you know, go get that turnover. So,
yeah,
you know, every quarterback holds a ball differently, especially when they're under pressure and they take off. Some quarterbacks like to hold that sucker out there with one hand. I don't know why they would do that, but they do. And others are smart. You know, they tuck it like a running back will, you know.
But
generally, your pass first quarterbacks, they're going to have it in the palm of their hand, ready to sling that sucker at any time. So I'm curious. I haven't looked at the film, but I'm sure Eberflus in that front seven has is
studying that hardcore. You better believe. I've got a when I joined the Colts in 2014, Robert Mathis gave me a PhD in stripping the football. I mean, it was mind-blowing to hear how defensive linemen and how pass rushers think about rushing the passer. For you and I, it's obviously about sacking the quarterback. Those guys, ball first, tackle second, because it's game-changing plays. Mm-hmm. You know, and for a young quarterback, like we talked about, if you're able to just get pressure on him, you know, move him off his spot, you know, make it a tougher throw so he can't step up. Those guys are going to tend to start looking down at the pressure. And when they look down at the pressure, hand comes off the ball, you get a little lax protecting the football and you're thinking about getting hit. And that's when good things happen. So I remember, you know, I love these games. Young quarterback, okay, we got to bring the heat. We got to bring the heat. And I'm sure there's the Darius Leonard and some of those guys are in his ear saying that, hey, we have another young quarterback. Let's use our formula last week of pressuring early, get him off his spot, you know, let the quarterback know this is our game plan. We're coming. And rely on the guys on the back end to do their job. And guess what? Offense starts rolling. You got some more energy now, and you're creating turnovers. And when you're playing fast and playing downhill, that's what defensive guys love to do, man. We don't want to sit back and watch the game. We're not in the stance. We got the helmet on. Let's get after some people, you know. So, you know, I'm excited. I'm curious to see how Flus is going to attack this team, and because they have their work cut out. Shanahan is a very skillful play caller, and you know, again, I'm like you. I haven't watched much of the 49ers, so I know Shanahan likes the play action rollout pass. You know, you have a athletic thrower, so you tend to get him out of harm's way. Some RPOs, some really quick, easy reads, 1-2, you know, reads, not to, you know, create much confusion. This is going to be a chess match. I'm looking forward to watching.
Absolutely. I think so too. It's going to be fun. This is like I said, this is kind of a measuring stick for the Colts, much the similar way that the Rams was a measuring stick and the Ravens was a measuring stick. And even though we lost those two games, actually came out feeling like, you know what, the Colts can play with them. You know,
the Colts have been in every single game they've lost. The record does not reflect how good this football team, it does, but to me, it doesn't, because we know the talent these guys have. Get some guys back from injury. You know, now we're talking, but you got to get through this second quarter of the season.
Just like what you just said, getting guys back from injury, they're Quentin Nelson, Braden Smith, both of them with a possibility of coming back this week as well. That would be the first time, if both of them can come back from injury, it'll be the first time the Colts have had their full offensive line out on the field.
Man, I think everyone's waiting on that. Everyone's waiting on your full, you know, roster of guys. You know, you got some momentum now, but to have your full platoon back, man, it within the locker room, when you have key guys out, a guy like Quentin Nelson, that's an all-pro, perennial pro bowler, just a leader on that team. This is the time where those guys kind of, you know, we talked about it before, they rise to the top. The cream rises, man. And Darius Leonard has shown up. You know, other guys have stepped up. And, you know, you get T.Y. back. He's going to, you know, make his presence known. You got to feed him the ball. And when I go back and watch that game against the Texans, what T.Y. brought to this offense was the ability to go deep. Even though he is a veteran guy, he is still able to take the top off of a defense, and you have to respect it from a defensive standpoint. So you can't just corral the box knowing that we're going to run on first down or second down or whatever. If T.Y. is out there lined up, he doesn't run. Here's a little secret that I'm sure everyone knows. T.Y. doesn't run hitch. He majors in running deep overs and down the field routes. Not much intermediate. Intermediate here and there, but he majors in taking the top off the defense. So I'm sure Carson Wentz, it gave him a bit of ease knowing that, you know, he got him the ball early. He was able to connect on a 50-yard, connection there. But, this is definitely a measuring stick. I think they're up for it. I think, winning at home the way you did gives those guys a ton of confidence to say, you know what, this is a huge test. If we know it, they're being told that. And I'm sure they're feeling that pressure of, we need to get back on track. We can still salvage this season at 2-5. But we got a long way to go. And basically, this is our playoff start now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I really do feel that way as well. I'm not going to give a score. It's Monday. I don't know what the – or Tuesday. Yeah. No, it's Monday, isn't it?
Yeah, it's Monday.
Yeah, it's Monday. Yeah, Monday Night Football tonight. I hope everybody, instead of listening to this, will come back later because, yeah, we got that division rival game going on.
Absolutely, this is a big game. This is a big Monday night.
Yeah, it is for the Colts fans. Absolutely is. But we got a lot of injury reports and figuring out who's going to be doing what and where, when and how. So I'm going to hold off on my prediction. Score-wise, I still think, though, that the Colts have a really good shot at coming away with a W on this game, though, even though there's some people mm-hmm. that are kind of pushing away from that, saying that, the Colts haven't beaten anybody. They've only beaten one in teams with one win, and that,
right.
I mean, they're right. not lying. So, right. right. they this is that, like I said, this is that next step on that measuring stick. So we'll see what happens.
It's going to be, it's such a, it's the first step. It's the first, if they can get over 40, the 49ers, granted, Jimmy Garoppolo isn't, he won't be playing. Trey Lance will be there. Still a very talented football team. Still a very talented football team. And I'm not sure what their record is at this point, but I know just the coaches they have and mm-hmm. Lynch, the way he's been able to formulate this team and build this team through the draft, both on one side, who is a force to be reckoned with. This team is not a cakewalk at all, mm-hmm. not a cakewalk. And I don't know if there's anything else. I'm trying to think of how – I'm trying to put my coach's hat back on. What, besides the obvious of not beating yourself, because this team, the Colts, aren't good enough to overcome multiple turnover game. They have to be able to generate some points. And if third down can get better on both sides of the ball, third down, converting third downs offensively and converting in the red zone. If they can pick those two areas of their game, I think they will win this football game. But if you come out and think you're going to just put up the same numbers that you put up last week, being 30% on third down conversion, and then on the other end giving up more than half of third down conversions, is going to be a tough game for you to mm-hmm. come out of it. It's going to be very difficult.
Yeah, I'm not too worried about the turnover ratio in this game. The Colts have been mm-hmm. very good in that department all mm-hmm. year. Carson only. Yes. Carson right now.
Don't jinx it.
Yeah, no, yeah. He's doing well. We'll just say right, that much, right? Doing right. very, very well, as opposed to at least how he did last year, that's for sure. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But
I agree.
Yep. I think that's going to do us. We've been almost 55 minutes now on this podcast. I appreciate you taking an hour out of your time to sit here and talk Colts football with me today.
Absolutely. Anytime.
Yeah. So any last words you want to get before we get out of here?
You know what? Yes, I do. You know, I want to, for our Believe in Colts fans and for our Lawrence Owens fans and our Colts fans, come check me out at my very own podcast, the Athletes Unplugged. You know, we interview all my former teammates, and I just had Chuck Pagano on last week, and it was a great conversation. So come check us out at Athletes Unplugged. Go subscribe and go follow us on Instagram. So other than that, take it away, Lawrence.
All right. Well, I actually tweeted that episode with Chuck Pagano and a couple
Did you notice? So I realized, so I've had a lot of younger guys on the podcast, and they, you know, they know how to adjust to the screen. I don't know if you noticed, but Chuck Pagano is not the youngest of guys. And, you know, after a certain bit, at a certain time, you would realize when your half of your face was out of screen that you would adjust. But, you know, that's my guy. You know, I got to bust his balls a little bit. But, yeah, it wasn't the best to watch. But we're going to do much better in that area.
That's okay, because it's more the information that you were getting out of that anyhow. Pagano was pretty open, actually. Than what I expected, because generally people are not quite as open as, especially, you know, coaches. Well, he's not coaching now, so, you know, or at least in the NFL. So I guess you can be a little bit more open than what you were back then. But yeah, go check that out. Athletes Unplugged. You can find, you can follow them anywhere, right?
Yes. On Apple, Spotify, YouTube, anywhere you consume your podcast, you can find it.
And then, of course, if you want to know, you know, follow the social media. It's on Twitter. It's on IG. And then, of course, YouTube. Go check it out. Athletes Unplugged on YouTube. And until next time, man, I'm Lawrence Owen. That's DaQuell Jackson. And as usual, go Colts.
Go Colts.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.